Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, welcome to Cowboy Church. I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we're talking about freedom today. This is part one of a series of two that you're going to be speaking on here at Cowboy Church. Freedom from what?
Well, that's, you know, I was kind of tempted, should we get real political on this or not?
Right.
Because it's really important. The Bible says it's for freedom that he has made us free. And that's sounds like a backwards talk. It's for freedom that he set us free. But what he's saying is that's really important to God, that we be free. Right. Have you ever thought why freedom might be important to God?
Well, we're free to do the things that we want to. We have a free choice. We have a free will choice, but we choose to do what's right.
Yeah. Well, we can choose to do what's wrong if you want to, you know, we've got that choice and God gave us that choice.
It's been paid. The payment for our sin has been paid.
Right.
Yeah. Future all the way.
So we have the freedom to tap into that. We don't have to buy into it. And freedom is a big thing.
Right.
And I can tell, I can tell a community that has a leader that is a believer in freedom, or he's a believer that people need to be controlled.
And follow the rules.
Yeah.
Like the old law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if a leader has one of those two mindsets, you can see it in the way he sets up his traffic lights in the town. I can tell you if the leadership is a believer in freedom or not.
And if he's a family man, that's the way his family is. Right.
Yes, it is. That always works that direction. The family is the experimental cage for everybody's opinion.
That's exactly right. Well, you can tell right now this is going to be interesting. I'm going to sing a song and then Russ is going to speak, and you're not going to want to miss this. Sit back and relax. We are going to Cowboy Church.
She was truly my best friend. Hey, ma'am.
Down and lonely, and you need a helping hand, and nothing, oh, nothing is going right. Just keep your head together and call my name out loud. Soon I will be knocking on your door. You just call out my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running. Oh, yes, I will, to see you. Oh, and soon I will be knocking on your door. soul if you let them. Oh, boy, don't you let them.
Come on, sing it to your best buddy.
You just call.
If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read the first, the 6th, and the 13th verse, then maybe 19 through 21. So it'll take a couple of sessions to get through all of them. And chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "For freedom, Christ set us free. Stand firm there and don't submit to a yoke of slavery." We're going to skip down to number 6 here. It says, "For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love." Yeah, let's go to 13. And 13 says this. It says, "For you are called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray today that you'd help us to get the gist of this. Lord, help us to understand exactly how this works and be able to apply it to our life. And Lord, help us to be victorious Christians who live out our faith the way that you want us to live it out, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you've ever been around Christians that are just... they're a little difficult to be around. And I'm not saying, I'm not being critical. Sometimes God uses people that have just kind of a difficult personality. He can do it for the good. I remember an individual I had some difficulty with at a racetrack, called himself a Christian, but he would approach people at the racetrack. He was a feed man, and he'd approach them with a bale of hay, and he'd go to give him the bale of hay or the sack of feed, and then he'd hold on to the wire, and he would tell them, he'd look into their eye, and he said, "I just got to tell you something. You're going to hell." And they couldn't let go of the feed, or, you know, and it would bother him enough that they'd come and talk to me, and I tried to talk with him. I thought, maybe there's a little better approach he could be using. He says, "Nope, they need to know that they're going to hell, and I'm gonna tell them." And he said, "How are they going to know if you don't tell them?" So, man, he wouldn't listen to me at all. And finally, people started getting upset about him, and they knew that I was a chaplain, and they would come to me, say, "Hey, what about that guy? What is he doing?" And I tried not to be critical. I didn't want to be critical, but I discovered something that even in his... a difficult way of handling things, he was actually rattling them a little bit in their mind, and they would come to me, and I can't tell you how many of those people I got to lead to Jesus. I thought, well, you know, God can use difficult personalities, and he sure is using it here. I just encouraged him. I just keep doing what you're doing. I didn't know what else to say, but I sure thought there was a better way to go about it. But the law of grace is an interesting thing. In the Old Testament, it's the law. In the New Testament is grace. And Jesus said, "I didn't come
to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. So the law is important. The law is where we find out where God's heart is. We find out what's good and what's bad, what's holy, what's unholy. And the law is just the black and white of things. But in the grace, it doesn't do away with what's right or wrong. But it gives us the ability to be able to overcome sin. So I wrote a song a while back, and they won't let me sing on this program. And there's a good reason for it. But the song went this, is you can't live by the law of grace unless your sins have been erased. Run, but you never hide from the long arm of the law. And it talks about a young man. There's a young man, he was out to reform, and he moved in town. This town is called Grace, and he tried to live like you're supposed to live, and he just kept messing up, and he ended up in court, and the judge, the judge is in his chamber, it's a preliminary trial. The judge appoints a lawyer. It's the judge's only child. He says, I move this case to dismiss, sir. This man's sorry for his sin. And what I've done for everyone, I will do for him. See, you can't live by the law of grace unless your sins have been erased. So the law of grace is such an important, thing to understand, that we have to walk in grace, but we can't erase the law. The law is what gives us clarity in what is right and what is wrong. And the law of grace is what the message is titled here. So it says that freedom, it's for freedom that God has set us free. For the sake of freedom, that means that freedom is important to God. For the sake of freedom, he has set us free. Now, why did God set us free? He set us free to choose. Because God is coming back for a people who've decided that God's a pretty good guy. That he really is God. He really does love us. He really has the best in mind. And he really wants to have a relationship, a connection, and a history with you and with me. And so his grace says, I don't want to force that. I don't want to force anybody to be a Christian. I don't want to force anybody to accept Jesus as their Savior. I'm just going to put it out there as an opportunity. And guys, if we have any sense at all, if we've got the first semblance of wisdom, if we've got the first semblance of understanding what a good deal is, what we'll do is we will accept the plan of Jesus, the plan of God, to send Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. It's a great trade out. This trade out is the best horse trading deal you can ever imagine. I just can't even imagine anybody thinking that it would be a good deal to say no to that. I want my sins erased. I want to live pure before God. The problem is that before Jesus, I just couldn't. And since Jesus, he said, well, let's look at this. This is a concept I want you to understand. Is Christ has set us free from what? From the law. He set us free from the law. He didn't set us free from sin. Now, I want you to understand it. There's a technicality here, but I want you to catch it. He set us free from the law, but he didn't set us free from our carnal, sinful nature. As long as we're still alive, and I've asked people, I said, how many of you have ever sinned since you accepted Christ as your personal Savior? Now, everybody needs to raise your hand on that one, because we have. And the reason is we have a body that responds to sin, and it likes sin. Sin attracts this body. We're flesh. We're carnal. We're sinful. Our mind and our thoughts, it's hard to keep them from getting into the gutter of sin. But God has redeemed us and forgiven us. And what he does at redemption He sets us free from the law that condemns us, and he expects us to begin to move in the direction until our salvation is complete. And the Bible says that our salvation is not complete until we shed off this old dead body, until we shed off this sinful nature. This body is a sinful, sinful nature that we have to live in, even though we are born again. And then it says, shall we continue to sin that grace shall abound? Oh, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're not dead to sin, but we're dead to what sin is trying to do in us all the time. And that the working out our salvation from the time we accept Christ as our Savior until we get to go to be with Jesus, when we're working out our salvation, we do work at that. It's God's grace that lets us in, but it's also our participation that purifies and helps us to live holy lives. And when we participate in that, then this body comes under subjection and under authority of Christ living in me, and me allowing Christ to be a part of my life, and me submitting to Christ. And as Paul said, he says, I die daily. I die daily to this fleshly body. I hate the sinful desires that it brings up in my life, and I have to die daily. If Paul said that, every one of you, every one of us, we must die daily, or this sinful nature will take charge again. He hates the idea of holiness because it takes all of his fun away. But the truth of the matter is when we become holy before God, we experience things that are not necessarily fun, but they're fulfilling. We experience things that are peaceful. We experience things that are enriching. And there's a lot of other things besides fun in life. And fun is not all that it's cracked up to be. But when we experience God and we begin to live out God's life in us and what God plans for us, what happens is we start out, well, this is not so bad. And then we begin to see, wow, this is wholesome. This is real. Wow, this is what I've been wanting. This is exactly the way I want to live my life. I don't have to go get some sort of a fake high in order for my life to be fulfilled. I deal with difficulties because I have a connection with Jesus Christ, and he helps me deal with difficulties. And it's all counseling is about perspective. And our perspective is this, that we are born again, sons of God, working out our own salvation and allowing him to build himself in us so that we can be overcomers. Christ set us free. Now, is freedom important? Did Jesus say that freedom was important? Yes, he died for freedom. And let's get political for a second. Is freedom important? Think about it for a second. Is freedom important? And be careful how you answer that. Because the Bible says Jesus died for freedom. Now, what's the opposite of freedom? Is anybody out there on your couch? Can you give me an answer? What's the opposite of freedom? It's called bondage. Bondage. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were in bondage, they were in Egypt. It took them 40 years from their salvation, where they were set free, to get to the promised land, where they got to be in the middle of God's will for fulfillment. And the old man had to die, and the new man had to be born again in order for them to be the people of God, to operate the way that God wants them to operate. That is our life in a nutshell. And the freedom is that we choose Christ, and we don't live in bondage in old Egypt. And we come through this fire, we come through the desert, we come through this process so that we can land in a beautiful place. It's a wonderful place. It's called God's plan. We land in God's plan in the promised land, and we get to be productive for the kingdom of God for a while, and then we get to be with Jesus in heaven. All of that process has to do with the concept of freedom. Is freedom important? Is it important to God? Yes. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross, to give us freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from sin. Freedom from death, hell, and the grave. Freedom from bondage, so that we can experience wholesomeness. We can experience grace. We can experience God's peace living in us. And we can experience fulfillment. And we could be on God's team. And we could bring about God's will on this earth. See, he gave us a great commission. When we land in a place that we call freedom, where we're in the will of God, where we're in the promised land, where we're living out what God has us to live out, when it's God's plan for each one of us, we're in the middle of that. What we get to experience is fulfillment. And we get to fulfill the great commission. What the commission is this: go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Well, thank you so much for listening to Cowboy Church today. I hope you feel a little more free and not under a law of do this and do that.
Right. Well, there's still good and bad, you know, and you can be free, but if you choose the wrong thing, there's still,
yeah,
you know, there's still.
You're going to pay the price.
Sure.
You know, and we need to know and teach our children. I always go back to our children. You know, if we do the wrong thing, we're going to pay a price for doing the wrong thing.
Right.
If we eat too much fried chicken, we're going to maybe lose a leg one of these days from diabetes and, you know, being overweight. We can't move and we can't pick up our children anymore, our grandchildren. So there's a freedom to eat whatever we want to, but is it for our best good?
Well, that's the deal. The whole thing about freedom is God really wanted for us to have fellowship with him.
Right.
But he didn't want us to be like all the other animals that move on instinct. Because if he whimsically says to the geese, it's time to go, the geese are going to be up and gone. They all obey. But God was intrigued with the idea. Or this is how I understand it. He's intrigued with the idea that I'm going to give somebody freedom to obey me or not to obey me. And when they choose to obey me, then I'll know that they love me.
Yes. It's a powerful thing.
Yeah.
We're so glad that you joined us today. You can give us your comments, write to us at the address that's on your screen right now. You can email us. You can Facebook. We would love to hear from you. And thank you for the support that you send in each month, because it keeps us right here on your screen, and we appreciate that. God bless you. We'll see you next time on Cowboy Church.